welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Episode of Turn the Page podcast. I am one of your librarian hosts, Stacey Metcher, and I'm very excited to talk to our special guest today.
Hi, I'm Denise Williams, she, her pronouns, and I'm the author of How to Fail at Flirting and the forthcoming The Fastest Way to Fall.
Yes, I'm very excited because we're talking about your upcoming book that's coming out on the 2nd of November, The Fastest Way to Fall. It's so cute. So we got approached by agent publicist. I can't remember anymore because I can't believe it's October of 2021. But we got approached and I was like, oh, this looks awesome. Because I saw your cover and I was like, yes, 100% yes. And then my coworker was like, this is a U-book. And I was like, yes. I was like, listeners, you can't see me, but I'm like praising. So I'm very excited. I got to read an advanced reader's copy of your book. Thank you for that. And I love it. So give us a brief summary of your book and then we'll get to talking a little bit more about it.
Sure. Thank you so much. And I'm always excited to see people doing that, the praise face for anything I write. So The Fastest Way to Fall is about Britta is the main character, the heroine. And she is a fat woman who works for a lifestyle magazine. She wants to move up and she gets the chance to review a body positive fitness app and not only review it, but to talk about her journey. And a question I get asked all the time, is this a story about weight loss or about like being unhappy with your body? And it definitely is not. Like, she is a fat woman who stays fat and weight isn't her goal. It's not the goal of the book. I don't think it even comes up in the book. So, but that's what she starts out to do. And she is paired with a personal trainer through the app who is Wes, and Wes ends up also owning the company. So the two of them get to know each other through the app. And as they're talking more about fitness, they begin to learn more about each other. They kind of have sparks right off the bat. Wes in his own life is really in a professional crisis moment and dealing with a lot of family things. And then as they get closer, what really bonds them is figuring out their strength together. Britta realizing more of her physical strength and Wes realizing more of his emotional strength, but also that he doesn't always have to be strong. And then of course there's the moments, the romance moments, there's only one bed and the soft touches, it's a slow burn. So you have to wait a little while for him to get there. But once you get there, it lasts three pages or three chapters. And you know, of course then they fall in love, but it's really about strength. And throughout the book, Britta is still contributing to this magazine project. So you see her blog posts and social media posts about her journey with fitness, about her relationship with her body. And so if that's a trigger for folks, I always provide that in the beginning, that though it's a very, I think, positive and uplifting message, it definitely does get into real world issues for people who are fat or who are just, you know, aware of their bodies.
No, I love that, because seeing that you had in your author's note kind of like the trigger warnings, because I've seen it pop up a lot more. And I say this on a lot of our podcast episodes. So like I read a lot of fan fiction, like a lot. And I'll read ones that they always have the trigger warnings like ahead of like what it could contain that might trigger someone. And I think it's really good to kind of have that on certain stuff because you never know what could trigger someone. But Your book is so positive and uplifting. And I wish they were real people and my friends. Like, I know a lot of reviewers have said that. And I came across a reviewer on Goodreads. I think she goes by Jess on it. And she's like, I don't normally DM the author after I loved a book, but I did this. And I was like, I wanted to do that. I just like forgot about it because I got busy like with my son and having to read all the children's books that I was, but I was just like, oh, it's so nice. Like, I'm a fan of romance stories and I love my happily ever afters and everything. So this, you know, ticks that box, but I feel like they're very realistic. Like I'm all fine with like, you know, suspending my disbelief about like certain romances and people of like, you know, they could be like perfect Prince Charming Cinderella type thing. But I felt that this was very realistic. And even though I might not be a fat woman, I could relate to some of the body issues of something. And I think it a lot of people could relate to both the mentality of going through of like being comfortable in your own skin and your own body and with your feelings and emotions and how to deal with crises in your life. And I think you do a really good job with that.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much. And for anybody who's listening, if you're worried about ever DMing an author to say you love their book, like, don't, because I don't think anybody ever gets sick of it. I certainly have not. And it's so amazing to hear from people, especially when the book isn't out yet. So, and it's like, oh, is this landing how I want it to land? Like, that is an amazing feeling. But yeah, I do think the characters are real, and especially for Britta, I don't want to say I wanted to get her character right, because I don't think there's any one right way to write people, mm-hmm. but I did want to make sure her experiences reflected mine, which they do, but also a lot of other people who have had kind of different experiences. And so there are a lot of, I'll annotate the book at some point to say like, hey, this is actually about me in high school. And this is, this is where this story comes from, or I crowdsourced this. But like, to make sure that that perspective was kind of, you know, a fit for a lot of people, was a lot of fun to do. And less so for Wes, but definitely talked to some different people who had experiences. And this is another kind of content warning, but Wes, part of his family issues, he grew up in a house with addiction. And so his parent is still struggling with that. And so talking with folks who kind of grew up in those spaces and have had some of those experiences to get that hopefully accurate.
Yeah, it's, I just thought it was really nice to and refreshing to read, because I feel like a lot of stories could go like either two ways of like, okay, everything's perfect and wrapped up and like everything, or it's just like everything blew up in flames and destruction. I feel like that, and I'm just like, no, this is like, I like when there's like a touch of like actual realism in a book. So I appreciate that when I'm reading, because I'm like, oh yeah, like I was about to say earlier in the month, but like it's only mid-October, but I think it was end of September, whatever, earlier, not that long ago, I interviewed another romance author, Sarah Smith, who had praise for, I forgot which book of yours, but she praised it.
Love Sarah.
So I was saying, I was like, no, I really like this, because some people said like, oh yeah, you know, I'm not a fan of the miscommunication errors. And I was like, excuse you, this is like my marriage. Okay. Like this is really shush. So, I mean, like, I appreciate that when I relate on something of that level, but I just like, I was like, no, this happens. Like real life's not perfect and get over it. But I really loved it. And I really wish there was an app that is like what Wes created. Cause I was like, this is more people need this. Cause I like that your book, it covers a variety of topics. So and like, it's very discussable. And I saw the book club kit that you put together and I love it. And I want to make the smoothie. I will share it with my child, cause he loves mangoes and smoothies. All of that. But
here's the thing, you make the smoothie for the kid and then you grow it up a little bit and make it a cocktail for you.
Yes. 100% yes. I love that. Thank you. Thank you for that suggestion, Denise. But I was just like, oh, you know, like usually there's books that come in as a librarian, we see like, you know, they have the discussions in the back, or like, you know, the author has them on their website. And it's always nice to have that in addition to whatever we would come up with questions wise for book discussions. And we have a lot of people be like, oh, I really want to read a good book. Like what could my, you know, my group like to read, or like if you have an official book club or not. But I was just telling a friend of mine who was like, oh yeah, like what are you up to today at work? And I was like, oh, gonna be interviewing an author about their book. And she's like, oh, cool. And she's like, oh, I haven't been reading, but I was like, this is who I'm interviewing. And she's like, I'm gonna look it up. Yeah, I'm into this.
I love it. I love it.
Let me know and then we'll talk about it. Like, I don't want to spoil things for you, despite the fact that I love spoilers, but that's a whole lot.
I will say included in the book club kit is the Sick Whitney Houston playlist, which is part of the workout playlist in the book, even though the characters are a little too young for the era, but it's okay because it's a lot of fun and you can, you know, bop out to it.
Never too young. My son is 22 months old and loves Shout by Tears for Fears. So never too young for anything. But
my kid loves to do dance parties to Earth, Wind, and Fire, the September song. And I
don't. Yeah.
He's like, it's grandpa music. And my grandpa, or my dad is like, I don't even like that song. Like, well.
You know, I'd love that. I will have a dance party to that. Cause when I hear it, I'm just like, yeah. Da-na-na. You can't see me, listeners, but I'm dancing and I'm sure people that are sitting outside the quiet study room.
And it's fantastic.
But I like the playlist that you have. I have to figure out the scan for it, but that's just me being technologically challenged. I could talk today. Happy Monday, everyone. But because I've been seeing it more, like people are more interactive with authors and the book themselves with stuff like this. Or like, you know, when you have the dream casting of people, and I've seen that mm-hmm. with books. but that's really fun. Like I could see this being adapted, and I now want to read your first one. But that leads me to the question that I have. So I saw when I was looking up like reviews to be like, oh, did people also like this? And because I'll read like, you know, the general reviews, and then I'm like, who didn't like it and why didn't they like it? They suck. But that's sorry, people. I'll be honest. But I mean, they brought up that Wes was mentioned in your first novel. So are they standalones that just have kind of some connections, or is it like actually a series?
Great question. They are standalone, but they're in the same universe. So you could read The Fastest Way to Fall without having read the first book and be totally fine. But if you've read the first book, there's definitely some Easter eggs. So you'll meet the characters from the first book. You get to go to their wedding. There's a couple kind of references, but if you haven't read that book, it's fine. And actually, just like, hey, sneaky information for listeners. I actually wrote The Fastest Way to Fall before we sold How to Fail at Flirting. So I drafted it in November 2018, which I'd kind of forgotten. It was a National Novel Writing Month project. And I loved Wes, but nobody from the second book was in the first book yet. And I wanted them to be connected. And so I actually went back to How to Fail at Flirting and figured out where Wes would fit, because I wanted him in that book and to meet him. And so actually he came into this book first and then was put in How to Fail at Flirting. So no, they're in the same universe, and my third novel being out next fall, kind of again, same universe, but they're all standalone stories.
Oh, that's so exciting. I like when that happens, because it's like, you get to see, like, you know, you're like revisiting friends. So I'm just like, oh
yeah, that's how it was to write them. It's like, oh my gosh, what would they say at their wedding? What would their vows be? What would this look like? And
no, that's awesome. So, now I will definitely go back to read the first one to be like, ooh, because sort of spoilery for listeners, like something with Wes, like there's with the connection to the first book, you get the full story in this one. So I was just, ooh, okay. Like I kind of want to know how to start, because I know how it ends.
So, and then if folks haven't read the first one, I think it's not my jam to write very fluffy, light books ever, because in the first one, it is like very fun and cheesy and lovey and steamy, but it also, the heroine is a survivor of domestic violence. And so I think in a pretty real way that comes up for her throughout the book in terms of how she is healing and how she's experiencing that. And it had to do with the workplace situation. So how she's actually confronting it too. So for folks who haven't read that and maybe want to, the trigger warnings are on my website, but also I think reviews cover it pretty well, what's in there.
Yeah. From the brief skimming I did of the reviews for it, I was like, okay. But I mean, I read across a variety of things. So I'm just like, I like this. Let's go back to one. Let's
read. All right. There's a lot of cheese puns in it too. So if you know,
I love that. I do. I'm like, reading it, I was like, I want her to be my best friend.
Okay.
But no, I think it's really cool with that. But I did have this question, because I looked up to like who the characters were of this first one. So of Jake and Naya. So a lot of people were saying in reviews for The Fastest Way to Fall of, you know, love Jake, but like Wes is the new book boyfriend.
Yeah. I would never pit my book boyfriends against each other, but the first book is single point of view and in Naya's perspective, and the second one is dual. So I think you get to know Wes a bit more, but yeah, he has my whole heart. My husband knows, you know, if Wes ever becomes corporeal, like we'll have a conversation. And so I think that's part of it. Like you get his perspective and you're inside his head. This is definitely a book where the hero, I would say, falls first. So you get just to see him completely smitten with her and his vulnerability and you know, what he loves about her. And yeah, I adore Wes. And in the first draft of the book, my friends were like, oh, I love Wes. He's great. He's such a well-rounded character. Brenna's kind of a robot. And I was like, oh, you're right. Like I put all my energy into writing him, and she was just kind of over here doing her thing. And so go back, edited. She's no longer a robot. But yes, I will not comment, but Wes is pretty great.
No, I just thought it was, I liked seeing that he fell first, because I feel like, you know, it's usually the girl that does it, but I was like, oh, this is nice. And I love that they, you know, started digitally, went to meeting in person, and when I was reading it, all I could think about was, so like I watch a lot of Netflix and there's a dating show, I don't know if you've heard of it, Sexy Beasts. And the whole premise of the show is you don't know what the person looks like that you're going on these dates with. And they're in the like sci-fi prosthetic makeup. And it's just like, I watched the season two just came out recently. So I watched a few episodes with my friends after our friend's wedding to just kind of be like, why not?
Yeah.
But they're like, you know, you'd be like a mummy, a fly, a badger, a warthog. And like, they go so far as to like, you know, cover skin on your arms or like your chest. So you don't know what they look like whatsoever. Like, you know, if they're tall, short, whatever, long hair, short hair, black, white, Asian, like the gamut of, it could be anybody you're talking to. And the whole thing is to bond with personality and see how that goes, because you don't know what they look like. You can't base your attraction on it. So it just made me think of that reading this, because they don't know what they look like. They're just communicating digitally. And yes, there's photos, you know, you could see like with dating apps, but I was just kind of like, oh, this makes me think of it, because you're connecting on a different level, starting the relationship that way, rather than like, ooh, you're attractive. What, like seeing someone like, I don't know, like mute cute.
Oh, completely. I grew up in the AOL age and chat rooms, and like You've Got Mail is, it's a little problematic, but it's one of my favorite movies ever. And I love that idea of connecting digitally, but I also kind of liked with this, and I don't think I really planned it that way, but it ended up that way in the book, because they don't know what each other looks like, you know, they're kind of falling for each other at least a little bit over this platform, but also because it's a fitness app, like she's entered her weight and her height, and that's not like a shock to him. So like, he doesn't know what she looks like, but he knows a little bit about her physically. And that is neither like fetishized or is it, you know, something that's shocking to him. He's like, oh, you're fat, but you're so beautiful. Like, you know, it's something that he already knows, and that isn't even really a consideration for him. I kind of like that as well.
No, I really enjoyed that. I didn't, like, as you're saying that, I was like, I didn't even realize like she would input like her health info, and that would kind of give an idea of what they'd look like. But it's interesting to me, because like, you never know. And then, you know, it comes up with the whole thing of like the idea of like catfishing someone could come up of like, you, is this who you're really talking to? Maybe. But I thought the romance was really nice. And I even, delving out of the romance area, even though this is a romance book, I found Britta and Claire's relationship interesting. And it's saying that as a woman, and how I had a discussion with a friend who's male that was like, no, it's interesting of like women and women in the workforce, like pit against each other, whether by society, the environment they're in, or just like each other. And I was just like, oh my God, like when talking about that, I was thinking about them, and I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah. So Claire is another journalist, another woman of color at the same magazine, and they're both really vying for the same position, and for a variety of factors, they feel like they're in competition. They are in competition. And so Claire is actually reviewing a rival app, Hotter You, I think it is. I changed the names of the app so many times because I found real apps with the old names. So they're both reviewing these apps and they're both posting. And while it's not competitive, it kind of is, because they're seeing, you know, who is getting the most traction. And so, yeah, their relationship is that, and they get into that a little bit. And Claire is kind of very efficient and maybe a little bit more, not even cutthroat, but more, maybe a little more cutthroat, a little harder. And so I have a book in mind for Claire, because I just loved writing that character, even though she has a relatively small role in this book. But you know, like seeing this person go on and shine and win and, you know, come out victorious, you know, in this space, but in her own story too.
Oh, that would be exciting. Because just even when you think of like the beginning of the book, of when Britta comes into the meeting and Claire's just kind of like, oh yeah, like you made it. Like, you know, it could be reading it like, oh my God, like she's going to be like the workplace nemesis, or like, is she really meaning that? Like a lot of things, which is realistic of working in a workplace. Like this is why I think your book is so discussable. There's so much to kind of book groups. You could talk for hours about this book and delve into all the little intricacies. You can't see me, but I'm making hand motions, listeners. I'll take a and being like, yes, It's like a puzzle. Put it together.
You know what? Just do like an emoji picture in the description so they can see kind of the flow of movements.
Be like, as if I'm like breakdancing, pop and lock it. But no, I think it's great. And congratulations. I should have said this as we opened the episode. You made the November library reads list.
Yes, so which was so exciting. No, you didn't spoil that for me. I saw that. So that was really exciting. And like, it was one of those moments where it's just like, they like me. They really like me. But you know, libraries are such pivotal places. And like, and librarians just do so much heavy lifting, not just in terms of connecting people with books, but like in community building. And so it's just like awesome recognition to have. And I get so excited when I take my son into the library to try to find my book or into a bookstore. And because he's 5 now, so he's getting good at it. And so that is, you know, just a fun kind of adventures to go on.
Oh, no, that's a great bonding experience. I will have you know, we do have your first book and we have this one on order.
Love it.
And I'm excited because a coworker is on hold for it. So I was like, oh, you read it and then we'll talk about it. It'll be informal. You have a lot of positive hype about this from like the literary journals that librarians read, and I'm sure booksellers also read, of Library Journal, Booklist, and Kirkus. And you have really nice blurbs from other authors too. Oh, okay, I found it. So one reviewer said, because you mentioned before, like one of your favorite movies is You've Got Mail, and that they compare your book to You've Got Mail meets the Oh My Venus Korean drama, which I've never watched or heard of, but I'm getting into the world of like K Korean everything. But it's exciting.
Isn't everybody?
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm obsessed with BTS. I love them and I will watch any video and listen to their music all the time. Very talented. Very, very talented. But I just think that's awesome that, you know, a reviewer says that it's like a movie that you love, which I could imagine that's like really high praise for you.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. That's so exciting. I really try hard not to read my reviews. So I know there's some fun things in there like that, that I never get to see, but, that's really fun. Just like I said, I just love the energy of that movie and the epistolary and open digital communications. I love it.
No, I like it. I could see the You've Got Mail. I can't compare it to the Korean drama just because I haven't watched any. I know they exist. I'll get on that just to be able to be like, yes, I agree 100%. I do like that you have like, you know, the blog post, the blurbs and their communication, because it adds to it. It makes it more realistic. Like you're getting into their world and their perspective. I want to go back to what you said before earlier. You mentioned about it being that you worked on a NaNoWriMo novel in 2018. How'd you get involved with that?
Yeah, so I did my first NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month, in 2007. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a book. Well, I wrote a 50,000 word story. It is horrible. It will never see the light of day. It is, and parts of it I still love and would still go back and read, but I never actually edited it. And like, I changed the name of 7 characters in the middle of the book and never went back and fixed the first half. So you just, at a certain point, all the character names change. But that was the first time I ever tried. And though I've always loved to write little things here and there, that was such a cool feeling of accomplishment. Like I did this, I created this. And then I tried to do it again for several years and didn't. And then I started graduate work. I have my master's and my PhD. And so then my whole life was consumed with that. And then I finally got back to writing when I started How to Fail at Flirting right after my son was born in 2016. And so that was not a NaNo book, although I did work on it on NaNoWriMo that year. But for whatever reason in 2018, when I started this book, The Fastest Way to Fall, I like hit NaNoWriMo with a vengeance. I think I wrote 90,000 words in the month, which I wish I could do that now. I don't know where that energy is anymore. I certainly can't do that anymore. But I was part of a group of, for our group, we were all women. We met on Twitter. We chatted. We did sprints. That's how I met Allison Ashley, who is a dear friend whose book, The Perfect Distraction and Home Sweet Mess, came out in 2020 and 2021. And she has one coming up soon too. And we just challenged each other and pushed each other. And so that's how I kind of wrote the first draft of this book. during Nano. And then I wrote another 20,000 words after Nano. And then I cut like 30,000 of those words. And then it eventually ended up where it is, because I'm kind of a classic overwriter. But yeah, National Novel Writing Month, if you want to write a book, it is such a great energy for me. If you're not competitive with yourself, then don't do that. But the idea that I can see the graph of words going up, that I have other people around me who can write with me and push me, is phenomenal. And I have another book due on December 1, which I have not fully started yet. So a novella. So I'll be nanoing this year, although I haven't in a couple of years. And so that should be fun.
Oh, that's so exciting. We love NaNoWriMo at the library. We started doing programs maybe around 2018 of just like offering as a write-in space, and that's evolved to, we will get involved in Camp Remo in April, and I think they do it again in July. But we will be like, okay, we'll do like writing workshops for the library. So I am not a writer. I will sometimes like write things. I used to really like writing poetry back when I was a very angsty, emotional middle schooler. But it's something.
I have a funny story about that.
Do you really?
Well, some milestone on Twitter of followers, I said, you know, if I get this number, I will release my, you know, one of my angsty high school poems, because I still had them all in like a binder. And so I was getting close to that number. So I went and found the binder and I dug out some. And I noticed at the bottom of some of them, there was a web address. And I had completely forgotten that I would post my poetry on this website. It was the Starlight Cafe. Oh my God. I was like, surely this website cannot still exist, because that was, you know, a long 20, 25 years ago. Well, I got online and it did. Doesn't anymore. They've taken it down since then. It didn't look like it had been updated since 1998, but I found all of my poems from the 90s had been archived, but all the ones in the early 2000s were still there. And there was like 60 or 70 of them. And they were so comically bad. There were a few that were good, but I think there was one where I was clearly writing about being in love and had never been in love before. There's one where I compared grief to a thermos of green jello. Like, it was comically bad. And so that was so funny to see.
I'll have to dig mine up. I didn't read like a ton of them, but I submitted them to some website. Not the one you mentioned, but I can't remember what it was. But they did, I know that they did make like a bound book of some of them. And I know it was in there, and I was like, oh my God, like, why did I do this? And I just remember writing like very like angsty. I was very inspired by this one like Swedish artist's artwork on DeviantArt. And I was just like, oh, this is like, this is something. I just remember it was like a photo of like someone, I think on like a swing or something. And just, I was like, oh, so, so emo. I must write this.
Exactly.
And I was just like, oh my God, like, I'm sure I probably have it. My mom just handed off like a box of stuff to me to go through. And I was like, why are you giving this to me? She's like, that's like your old report cards and whatnot. Like, you want it. And I was like, no, I don't. I don't have enough.
I mean, this is fully dating me, but I have everything I wrote like from college on backed up, but awesome. From stuff prior to that, I have a physical floppy disk, like a like one of the little hard floppy disks that has the archive, and I probably need to figure out a way to like move that stuff off there before that disk is corrupted, but I'm guessing my old bad poetry is living there.
Oh my God, that's awesome. I probably have a few floppy disks that my parents have somewhere, unless they threw it out, who knows. With They definitely got into the habit of pandemic cleaning. So that's probably why I ended up with a lot of stuff. My mom's just like, here you go. And I was like, I just came for Halloween costumes, but thank you for all of this. But I'm glad to know I'm not the only one that wrote fun, emotional, angsty poetry. I was just like, it's funny.
No, I think that's pretty common. And actually there's a scene, there's a scene in the book where Wes the hero stumbles upon Britta's old poetry, and it's a rather personal poem that he finds, and so that was kind of a fun moment to write.
Oh, to reflect back with that. Oh, that's, I'm glad that fictional and real people also, I now share that bond. very exciting. Now I'm gonna have to go to figure out, be like, where did I put all of this? Maybe it's in, I'll have to go through the box later today because I actually just brought it into my house this morning. It's been in my car for too long. So I'll do that as after work. It'll be fun. Maybe I will make the smoothie.
I mean, you never know.
Do that.
Perfect.
Yeah, but this is great. Like I've had so much fun talking to you about your book and your past book. And you said you're working on more stuff in that universe. And now I'm excited that you have a novella coming out soon that you have due. So I'm going to keep my eye on that.
So yeah, I actually have three coming out. There'll be three coming out next May, June, and July. And they all take place in and around the airport. Ooh. So there is Love from Afar story with an airport dog groomer. There's an Enemies to Lovers with two professors. And then there is a Friends to Lovers with two people who work inside the airport who have to solve a mystery.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Ooh, yeah, I'm excited. I think they're a lot of fun. Yeah. And then the novel that'll be out next fall is RJ's story. And RJ is Britta, the heroine in this book's best friend. And she is a divorce attorney who's kind of tough as nails, and she ends up officiating weddings, kind of falls into officiating weddings and has to work with kind of a dude bro wedding planner. And
I'm so excited for that. Oh, I love it.
Of course, Enemies to Lovers.
Oh, it's one of my favorite tropes, so I can't ever get enough of it. Oh, well, I'm so excited. I'm like ready for please give it to me now, but no pressure.
Okay.
Your schedule. I am no writing dictator of demand, but it's exciting to know that you're working on stuff and you have a lot in the works that are coming out. So fans and new fans from listeners and just me going on about it to now friends and family, just being like, check out this. Guys, here you go. You like this book? Here you go. Because I'm excited because a lot of people have read, one of the people that blurbed your book was Emily Henry, who wrote People We Meet on Vacation and Beach Read. And we had her virtually at the library for a program and people enjoyed it. And people are just like, oh, I really want this book. So I can be like, oh, the book's not in, but we have this one. We also have this one.
I love that.
Moving your stuff because I like... You know, it's one of my jobs as a librarian to match people with books they want to read. And now I have a good one in my pocket I can now give.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I'll have to just push your first one just because we don't physically have this one. But I'll be like, it'll come in. Don't you worry. But I know it's very exciting to do that. I'm so excited to promote that and put that book in people's hands. So I want to say thank you so much, Denise, for chatting with me. We're going to close this chapter of Turn the Page, and it has been a pleasure. You are always welcome back to our library, and I really hope you come back or at least talk to us about more of your stuff.
Oh my gosh, I would love to. Thank you so much for having me, and so fun to chat with you. And I want to read your poems if you find them. Well, right. Thanks again for having me.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.